If anybody else has public comment cards, you could turn them in now because we're going to get started in about a minute. All right, we're going to get started. 7 o'clock. We'll call this meeting to order. First thing on our agenda is to approve the minutes from the February 28, 2017 meeting. Do you have any discussion on that, Greg?
No, I don't.
And I will move that we accept those minutes as recorded.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, and then we have closed session minutes to approve from March 7th, 2017. Special board meeting. Is there any discussion on those?
No.
And we'll move that we accept those as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we also have a special meeting on March 14th, closed session only. So I will move that we approve those minutes as well.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Next up is the treasurer's report. Any discussion on that?
Let me check. It's been a couple of days since I went through this. Finish my signatures here in just a moment. Okay, I don't think I've got anything marked either, Debbie. So.
Okay, I will move that we accept the treasurer's report for February 2017.
Second.
All those in favor?
All right.
All right. Next up, we have the chief's report for March.
So we see it included there. We had 80 runs for the month of February. Actually, down a little bit from last year. Our medical runs were a little bit up from last year. So 80 calls in total. Maintenance-wise, I know it's been discussed before about the roof at Station 1. We need to, if it's going to repair, need to put out an RFP and take proposals for that. Nothing has been done with that at this time. One has not been written, nor has been published.
So are we going to follow through with that?
If you'd like me to, I can create the RFP.
Yeah, I think we had asked him last month to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
So if we could get that done,
okay,
that would be great. And get three beds at least.
Absolutely. Well, the RFPs, we'll have to advertise, that's the one where we're advertised. And I mean, we may get
multiple, we just describe the work and then they give us their proposals for what it would be.
And bring them back.
Yeah, and then we'll bring them back and then you guys would award the contract.
Would we have them by next month or does that process take longer than that?
I think we have to advertise it for 14 days, so it'd probably be close to have it back.
Okay.
But it is, even with the latest rain, the repairs that were done, there's no water leaking into the building at this time. That roof is still watertight. It's not the greatest condition, but it is, it's no longer leaking.
Okay.
At least for the time being.
Yes, yes. The big thing is Station 3, no damage was found during the tornado. I've been in contact with the architect and when we talk about their punch list, to put it in perspective, it's 30 pages long. Between, there was a punch list that was created by the engineer and there was a punch list that was created by the architect. Those two have been merged and were given to the general contractor, but since the fire district hadn't put their, hadn't added anything to it, that's what was kind of what they're waiting on, to give them the official certificate of substantial completion, which then would start a 30-day window for them to have the project completed. So that hasn't occurred. The architect gave the punch list, those two punch lists, to the contractor, but they have not, nothing, I mean, some work has been done, but they haven't been given that 30-day deadline. I'm working to set an appointment with him for next week that we can, I want to see exactly what he's pointing out, and I don't know the percentage of those things that have been completed.
Okay, this certification that you're referencing, is that something that the contractor, the architect, or we generate that?
The architect would generate that and say that, yes, you've delivered the product that we're looking for, and here's our punch list of things that need to be touched up. There's some doors that need to be repainted, some things adjusted, you know, the education part of some of the systems that are there, handing off all of the manuals and directions and that kind of thing. So once we have set firm what these punch list items are, that gives then the contractor, the general contractor, 30 days to basically be absolutely finished with the building, okay, with the project.
So it's not too late. I mean, I see that we got the punch list on February 16th, and as of March 23rd, Chief Callahan had not added anything to it. Is it? Can you still add something
absolutely
to it if you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I want to meet with him on site and, you know, look at what he's describing and then...
When you say he, the architect or the engineer?
The architect, yes.
Okay.
A few things maintenance-wise, we tried to get handled the last couple of weeks. There were just some items that were left hanging, hydraulic tools. They made a couple repairs to the boat trailer, that kind of thing. So with that, we did get, I don't know if you've been given notice, we received what I describe as an audit, but it says multiple times on there it's not an audit, from FEMA in regards to the very first Fire Act grant that we received. And they call it a desk review, but I had to assemble a package about an inch and a half thick of canceled checks and specifications, and it sure sounded like an audit to me, but they call it a desk review. And that was completed and submitted to them yesterday, and they said they'll review it. They said their goal is to look at general practices, purchasing controls, accountability, that we have all the stuff still that we bought with FEMA money and so forth. So Connie did a tremendous amount of work on that and got it put together, and that was submitted yesterday. On the Clay County side, I'll talk a little bit about the tornado, but we interacted, the entire department interacted quite a bit with Clay County Emergency Management, and that went incredible. It was a great learning experience and growth experience for a lot of us involved. Same with the city of Smithville. Chief Lockridge was in charge, was the incident commander of the recovery efforts. I attended several of his daily meetings throughout the week, and he and the city staff just did a tremendous job in the response to the tornado. We, on our side, from Monday, March 6th, the night the tornado occurred. By 9:30 that night, we had responded to 19 incidents involving the tornado. You know, kind of spread out across that area, everything from, you know, power lines down to people trapped to gas leaks in buildings and so forth. Starting Tuesday morning through Friday afternoon, during the daytime hours of the recovery, we had a two-person crew standing by, at least a two-person crew. In a couple days, we had the pumper in service up there as well. And the firefighters did a tremendous amount of job and helped helped quite a few citizens. I mean, you know, we were there in case anybody got injured and to, you know, lend assistance where we could. They put in 105 total man hours in that week just in coverage. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that
awesome
went really
job.
Well. That went really well. And I think other than new apparatus, the new pumper is here. Training has been completed by the apparatus builder. They did a 1 day, a 4 hour in service, and then we did 3 8-hour days of training with the pump, the pump manufacturer. This pump has a compressed air foam system, so instead of just water, it'll be water and air and basically a soap solution that it injects. Makes your water last longer. It has tremendous knockdown power, so it should make us much more effective and require less water, better utilize our limited water resources in the district.
So when will that, is that in service now or?
Man, they're chomping at the bit. It is not yet. And I've told them, you know, my best guess is I'd like to have it in service within 45 days. We have equipment that's been on, that is ordered, that has to get in, and then we'll mount that equipment. At that point, we'll place it in service. Each one of the drivers needs to log driving time in it and so forth, just to get familiar. Handles a little different than anything else we have. So we'll probably see some increases around town in miles and so forth as they kind of learn the new truck. But pumping wise, they love it. They're ready to get in service. So I would like to say with conservatively 45 days.
Okay. This will be unit 13.
No, this will be pumper 12. The pumper, Smithville Area Fire Protection District. Everything we have should be in the 10 series of numbers. So anything from station 2 should be a 12. So it should be pumper 12, tanker 12, brush 12. Anything at station 3 then would be pumper 13, brush 13, tanker 13, and so forth. That's kind of how the system's supposed to be set up. Okay. If you look out there right now, yes, we have 3 pumper 12s, but the oldest of the pumper 12s is going to become pumper 13, and it'll go to station 3. The middle pumper 12, the one they currently operate, it will become, for lack of better words, pumper 11. It'll be in reserve here. So the pumper responding from here will always be pumper 13. We've kind of changed up and gone to, I'm sorry, pumper 12. I confused myself, you know what I mean? We've kind of started a new system where we'll refer to them by purchase numbers. So this new truck, instead of, you won't see a list that comes out that says old pumper 12 and younger pumper 12 and new one. This new truck will be 1701. We'll just number things as capital purchases that way. So any place that it goes, it really becomes difficult with our vendors because they've replaced tires on about 15 different pumper 12. You know, they've been told pumper 12 and put on probably 15 sets of tires on different vehicles. So we're gonna fix that moving forward. So yes, it will be pumper 12 out of here.
Okay, I'm curious. On the maintenance report, it says 2 rear tires were replaced on the Pierce pumper, and that's 11, I think. Am I correct?
It will become 11, yes.
I mean, okay.
It's the newest, other than trucks not in service, it's the Pierce pumper that they drive currently.
Okay, that's not the one that was wrecked.
No, sir.
Okay. I can never get those straight. Okay, I'm just curious, why were there just 2 tires replaced?
That wasn't my decision to make, but 2 tires have been replaced. I don't know, Justin handles all the maintenance tracking.
2 were replaced fairly recently. 2 were replaced
not too long ago, and then these 2 follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we just spaced it out to get the maximum wear, or, I mean, generally rear tires go about the same time?
I didn't make that decision, I just talked to the guy at T&M and was told to replace two tires, so that's what I had then.
Okay.
And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Any more discussion on the chief's report?
I move we accept.
I'll second that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we're gonna move into public comment. And Charlie Waters, you are up first. We're gonna try to keep, I've been informed that we need to keep public comment non-personal. You know, we're not naming anybody in any negative way.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If there's something positive to say, you can name them all day long.
Charles Waters, 503 Indian Trail Court, Smithville, Missouri, 64089. I'm just gonna brush over a little bit with what Chief Klein said. So on March 6th, Monday evening around 7:15, an EF2 tornado approximately 1,000 yards wide tore through Diamond Crest and Harbor Lakes along W, moving on to north of Paradise along C. With winds estimated at 132 miles an hour, it damaged 60 to 70 homes, some completely, and displaced families. Miraculously, no one was seriously injured. Smithville Fire and other agencies responded and remained throughout the night, helping and assisting in untold ways and returning on their own time to assist citizens for the next few days so their shift came back up. Now, being on the Board of Aldermen for 6 years, I had direct ties to Chief Lockridge. I had direct ties to the Smithville City Administrator, Steve Garrett, the Mayor, Jack Hendricks, Community Director, and they all lauded the Smithville Fire District on all of their efforts on what they had done. Firefighters tend to stay out of the limelight and get away from cameras. If you've ever seen incidents, we all watched Overland Park recently, and you just don't see the ones who do a lot of the dirty work getting in front of the cameras. With all due respect to Chief Klein, we save that for the white coats. So that's just not how they get their thanks. So I would wonder, Chief Klein, if you would take this time, I think it's long overdue, if you would introduce the Smithville Area Fire Department to us so that we could give them the recognition they deserve, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So A shift, we have Captain Nick Traub.
Stand up, please.
Stand up.
And I don't believe Craig's here. Craig Bryan is not here. Jason King is here from A shift, and Dustin Blanchard. Is he? Yep, there's Dustin. So this is the A shift crew. These three and one other crew member were on duty the night that it struck. And we were actually called to a fire alarm at the golf course, and they were en route there when we got a report of a houses torn off and people trapped in Diamond Crest. So they were out on the street already when it occurred. So, and they did a tremendous job. I mean, nothing prepares you for that, but they did a tremendous job. Absolutely. And then B shift is Captain Taggart, who's not here tonight. Firefighter Justin Holloman, firefighter Shane Moore, and they're a three-person crew. Is a person short tonight, so there's just three of them that are assigned to B shift. C shift, who's on duty today, is Captain Jeff Cobble, and firefighter EMT apparatus operator Craig. There's Craig Bryan and Byron Watkins, and you try and keep that straight. I have trouble. That's why we put their name on their shirts. Byron Watkins, and then another two of our new hires from this year, Sean Isbell and Michael Dooley.
Thank you. comments about the fire department, so thanks for all you guys did and are still doing. There's still a lot of cleanup going on. Anita Johnson, did you have anything? Not right now? All right, I think we're good on that for open comment. We will move on to old business, the first of which is researching the district moving to a 5-person board.
Before we get formal on that, Deb, do you feel like you're inclined to be in favor of that?
I would be willing, if we get a third, I mean, I think getting the third member is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've done that, then I would be willing to research it and go to the community and see how they feel. You know, we work for them, so I kind of want people's input on that. But yeah, I would be willing to look at that.
Can we move that to the bottom of the list and bring it up last then?
Didn't you ask? Isn't that where it was? And you asked to move it to the top?
Yes.
I guess, yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
All right, well, we will move on then to the city liaison meeting between the city and the fire district.
I think the only thing that needs to be said there is there's a liaison meeting the 20th of April at City Hall. So.
Sir, I believe it's scheduled for here. I can confirm okay. That,
well,
I believe it's scheduled for here
okay,
this time.
Okay, great. That's better yet. Thank you.
Okay, then we will move on to the board member appointment. I put that on there, of course, the third month, still trying to get a member appointed.
I move that we, if Mr. Painter is still interested, that we accept his candidacy for the third board member.
Wow.
Bob Painter,
are you here?
I am, yeah.
Are you willing to accept that?
Yes, I am.
All right, I will second that motion. Congratulations, Bob. I don't know if we are allowed to swear him in right now.
Well, I think we've got the material to do that, Deb.
Okay. Bob, would you like to come on up?
Come on down.
You can come on up here in front and we'll get you sworn in. Pointed on the. Oh, do we have a notary in the room? We have to do this in front of a notary.
She's
are
a
you
notary.
A note?
I don't have my little stamp or anything, but I can
okay.
Pull it out later.
Awesome. All right, you can raise your right hand. And repeat after me. I, Bob Painter.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Missouri.
And the Constitution of the State of Missouri.
And that I will faithfully demean myself.
I will faithfully demean myself.
In the office of Director.
In the office of Director.
Of the Smithville Area Fire Protection District.
Of the Smithville Area Fire Protection District. For which I was appointed.
On the 28th of March, 2017.
28th of March, 2017.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. And then I just need you to sign that. All right.
Let's get to work.
All right. I'm so excited. I can't hardly move on.
I'll take that and pull it out.
Yeah, and I'm going to introduce you there in a second. We're getting there. All right, we are ready to move on to appropriate the ballot issue to staff station number three.
I'll speak first, I guess, then. I think that's something that we certainly ought to entertain now that we have council. I presume that our council has accepted our offer.
Yes, I will introduce him here shortly.
Okay.
That's under new business since.
Would actually move that we charge our new council with searching out the language and to be able to put that ballot at the on the appropriate election, which I presume now would be 18, to give us lead time. And I suppose there's some strategizing that needs to go along with that, but I would certainly want us to consider that. A motion on the floor.
It's up to you if you want a second, and I do not want to, I'm not ready to put it on the ballot yet. I do see that we have a need for it. You know, I kind of said what I had to say last month. We have hundreds of kids in that district with the new school going up, so we are going to have to at some point. I'm not sure that the district is quite ready to support a tax levy from this board, but I think we're getting there. So that's kind of up to you. I'm not going to second it.
Okay, I'd like to kind of have more discussion as we go forward, because I don't think I have all the issues to make a second.
Right. Well, we can table that one and put it on for next month.
Fair enough.
Okay. So then the next one, I don't know if you want to continue with that, to appoint an ad hoc committee to help the district promote that issue.
Well, I suppose that ought to be hand and glove together. So table okay. That as well.
Okay. The next one is the Fire Board mission statement. I had asked you to come, you know, with some ideas for that. Kind of thinking since we just got a new director that maybe we should give you a chance to chime in on that too, so you might want to. I did write down a couple things, but I don't want to do it without you being involved, so I think maybe we'll table that one as well.
Just for my own input, I didn't do any work on that. I feel like we've got a mission statement for the district, and we do all. Three of us are charged with our oath of office, and I feel like that's sufficient, but it won't hurt anything to have it. So,
right. I mean, that mission statement doesn't cover us, though, because it's talking about protecting lives and I'm not sure exactly what it says.
Preserving property, preserving environment.
Yeah, which is not something that we do.
Fair enough.
Thankfully, I'm not charged with going and running into burning buildings. I'll leave that to somebody else. And the Fire Board appointment precedent and policy, I kind of, since we do have new legal representation, I kind of like to have a little bit of input on that too. So I have a busy meeting next month. All right, so then we will go back to yours, Greg, of research the district, move into a 5-person board.
Again, I feel strongly about that, and since we have council and it's appropriate that we get the initial consideration on the ballot, I think we have to file by the May, if I'm correct about that, and that's for the August election. I would move that we charge our council to lead us down that road.
I do have public comment on that one from Charles Baker. Hi.
I'm Charles Baker. I live at 409 Northeast 144th Street. First of all, I wish to congratulate you folks from having a complete board. That's really been a struggle for everyone. And actually, I really, frankly, because of this trouble that the board has had in the past, I strongly suggest that we go to a 5-member board so that this would never happen again. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you.
Duly noted.
Anita Johnson, do you have anything you want to say on that? No? I do think it's something that we could look to moving towards. I mean, when this district was first set as a 3-person board, it was obviously a much smaller district. So I think it has some valid thoughts. I'd kind of like to come back next month and spend this month kind of talking to our constituents and the public and kind of getting their take on it. You guys know that I have an email address here, dchildress@safpd.com, and I would love to hear comments or suggestions or what your thoughts are on that. And then we can look at it next month and see. We would still have plenty of time to get it on the ballot.
Do we? I mean, I think we should ask our council.
Yeah, it's not due till the end of May.
Yes,
so if we talk about it in April, we still have a month to get it onto the ballot.
Is that sufficient for him? I mean, I think we need to give him consideration.
It's hard to say without having looked at the issue yet on it, but I would think that would be enough time to at least have a roadmap for you guys by the next meeting for sure.
Enough information that we can make a decision on to and be comfortable with meeting the May deadline?
Yes. But obviously things come up and you guys might find an issue relevant to that you have to explore, but trying to account for any unknowns, I still think that's quite a long time when we start talking about just submitting a ballot issue.
Okay, thank you. So if you could put that on there also next month, then we'll revisit that.
Start over.
Did he withdraw the motion or just table it or?
Fails for lack of second.
All right, then we will move on with new business, which is to introduce our new district legal representation. If you'd like to come on up here, or maybe to the podium. This is, do you go by Joseph?
Joe, please.
Joe Gagnon. He's also the Clinton County prosecutor, and he is our new representation. I'm so excited to have him here. And if you'd like to say a couple of words or maybe tell us some of your qualifications,
sure,
that would be great.
And I've had the chance to talk to you online, on the phone.
Right.
Haven't had the pleasure to meet either of you yet, so hello. I'm a Clinton County prosecuting attorney. Just to your north there, we're small enough that it's considered a part-time job, although my caseload argues with that sometimes. But it being part-time, that means that I have a private law practice as well, and in that law practice, I represent lots of different kinds of governmental entities, fire districts, water districts, little cities. Just for example, I represent Trimble, just north of here. I'm their city attorney, city prosecutor, city attorney and city prosecutor for lots of local district or local municipalities, and then represent water districts, fire districts as well. My firm, we have 3 attorneys that are in there. All 3 of us are part-time prosecutors, so all 3 of us represent governmental entities on a regular basis, every single day. In talking to Debbie on that, I had mentioned that one of our attorneys in the office, she actually is a constituent of the district. She lives in the Smithville area. So I anticipate her coming on and helping with the representation as well. So you'll see me a lot. You'll see her a fair amount too. Her name is Brandy Kellum, also an assistant prosecutor with me up there in Clinton County. And she offices out of our Plattsburgh location.
Last name, Joe, was Kellum?
Kellum, K-E-L-L-A-M.
Thank you.
So we're fairly close by. We have a Lathrop location, we have a Plattsburgh location. It's we try to be very responsive. I know that's always a big weakness with lawyers, is that sometimes you send a message or a phone call and it doesn't get returned. We try our best to be responsive, whether it's by email, which we welcome, phone calls, text messages, whatever it is. We're here to serve our clients, and we especially like to serve our government clients. It's what we do, not exclusively what we do, but it is the majority of our private practice out there. Glad to be aboard, and willing to help out however I can.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and pronounce your last name again for me.
Yeah, Gagnon.
And that's G-A-G-N-O-N?
That's right.
Gagnon.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
And Joe's a lot easier, though. There's no confusion without him.
And I believe we had one public comment that had a question for you. So, Charlie?
Do you want me to stand to ask it, or shall I?
Okay. Whatever you want to do.
Do I need to yield the podium?
No, you're fine. I'll just, since I've given my address. With the last lawyer that we had, there were many times which seemed to be singled out for me, that I was, as we alluded at the beginning during public comment, there were certain things that the lawyer would say, you can talk about, you can't talk about, but never presented, even though I asked, never presented written policy or any kind of an ordinance or anything pertaining to someone's contract, issue of someone living out of town, anything that pertained to someone personally of the administration or anybody within the Smithville Area Fire Protection District employees. So as any one of us who want to further that in the next few coming months want to talk about anything in particular, can you provide us next month with some kind of a guideline on what actually we can talk about and what we can't talk about when it comes to someone's contract or someone's, I understand we can't talk about personal nature, family, this and that. But what can we talk about on certain items?
It's a very hard question to answer just because it's kind of general and hypothetical. But number one, my first job is to become familiar with whatever rules of procedure and conduct previous boards have put into place that govern the meetings here. I just simply don't know what those are. I know what state statutes require. But I don't know if, a lot of boards will adopt, Robert's Rules or some similar. And so all of that is important, that decision. And this is I'm not saying this should be the case, but the board, any public body in Missouri, unless there's very specific exceptions to this, there's no right for public comment. Now, most public entities, I recommend it's a very good idea to allow public comments. So all public comments are allowed by the permission of the presiding body. So the fact that any of you guys that have been able to speak on these issues, that's only because the board lets you. Now, it's also good government, right? I mean, there's those concerns, is that, and I'm sure they all want to hear from the public, good or bad. So, like I said, it's hard to say. I can give you a real smart kind of quick answer. Well, you can talk about whatever the board lets you talk about, because that's true at some basic level. As far as a legal, beyond that, a legal prohibition about things you can't talk about, that to me would be one of those things that the board is authorized to close a meeting to discuss things like personnel issues, legal matters, real estate deals. Any internal investigations that are ongoing, things like that. And there's a whole list in the Sunshine Law Statute of what the proper grounds are to close meetings for various reasons, and they're usually pretty specific stuff. So I did my best to try to answer that question, but it's hard because it's, as lawyers, we're used to dealing with, here's a scenario, how do you respond to it? Not such a hypothetical or a general sort of question. So, and the other thing is, and I've been part of mostly this comes to mind in municipal governments where, somebody can get up and make their public comment, and as I'm sure everybody's seen in one context or another, sometimes those can be
aggressive or beside the point or even slanderous, right? They can get up and really let the board of whatever they're at have it. Well, that doesn't mean that it's anything that the board or the board of aldermen or board of directors, whatever public body does, doesn't mean that I have to respond to that. It's not necessarily a back and forth. That's just right. Kind of the nature of the, you know, so I could get up here as a, if I was a public citizen here, which I guess I am, and I could read, you know, the Declaration of Independence in my public comment. It might not have any bearing on anything, and they wouldn't have to like it or agree to it or let me speak for longer than whatever my allotted time for public comments is. So.
Great job, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Joe. Okay. Glad you're here. And are you going to be available for our closed session?
Yeah, I was just going to go sit back down. I was going to take off.
Right. Yet. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're happy you're here. All right. That concludes the open part of this meeting. So we will now, I'm going to move that we go into closed session as authorized by the State of Missouri Sunshine Law 610.021 for legal and personnel.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thanks everybody for coming. The next meeting I will bring up before closed session is Tuesday, April 25th. 7 o'clock.
That's probably a compliment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Good choice.
Thanks, great. Bob, really nice.
How are you doing, sir?
Nice to see
you.
Congratulations.
The jury's still out on that, isn't
it? My first congratulations.
John, real quick, can we get into that consent?
Yeah. Okay.